We have seen in Exodus chapter 17 four texts, four portions of Scripture that we have been looking at, considering the context of each one of those. We're doing this based upon that method of study we've spoken of previously, where you take a text, you take a specific portion of Scripture, and you write out, verse by verse, statement by statement, what is said in those verses. And that has an immediate impact upon your understanding, I have found, of the text. Then going from there to consider the individuals, the characters that are mentioned in the text and what is being said and who it's being said to. And we come to the last portion of Exodus 17, dealing with verse 14, 15, and 16. This is the last portion that we'll be looking at along these avenues. I am determined to get some loose ends covered as far as what we believe in that series of messages that's gone on about a year. I know there's some things I need to preach on, I need to teach. Common things that aren't so common when you really think about what people understand about these things. But you pray that the Lord get us back to cover what loose ends He'd have us to cover, and then that He would lead us in what He'd have us to do, because I hope to bring Genesis over to Sunday night in weeks to come and have something different for Sunday mornings. Revelation will still be the theme for some time on Wednesday evening. Let's read verse 14 through 16 of Exodus chapter 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. As you take these verses and you look at them, we're encouraging you to write, physically write, with a piece of paper and a pen, what you see the main statements are in each one of these verses. I wish we had a smart board. I wish we had some kind of device that we could do this literally in our services, but we don't have any of those things. I think you'd have to be smart to operate a smart board, and I don't think I would qualify for that, so we'll not hope to that end. But as you sit here tonight, let's kind of write out, as we have the previous three times, the key things that are found in these three verses. In verse number 14, there are four things that we have written that are found in this verse. The four things are: The Lord said unto Moses, see, it's plainly right there in verse 14. The Lord said unto Moses, the second thing we've written out is the Lord saying to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. And I think the this connects to verse 13. Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial. I think he specifically wants this record recorded. And in fact, we are reading it because God gave Moses this instruction, and Moses did as he was told. We're reading this from a book. We're reading this in the book of the law of God. So the first thing we wrote from verse 14 is, the Lord said unto Moses, the second thing was, write this for a memorial in a book. The third thing that is said there in that 14th verse is God instructing Moses to rehearse it, repeat it, reread it, remind, if you would, rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. And what the Lord said to Moses to write in a book and to rehearse in the ears of Joshua is that statement that follows. I will utterly, this is God speaking, I will utterly put out, I'm going to transliterate this a little bit. God is saying, Almighty God, the God of love, is saying to Moses, to say to Joshua, ultimately to say to the people of God, I, Jehovah, I, the Lord, will utterly erase the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. I will put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. On the surface of this earth, I will eliminate his memory. But it's important to note that this is not something God's going to do immediately. This is not something God is going to have Joshua go back, chase them down, and ultimately destroy the last living Amalekite. He will put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, but it's going to take some time. God's going to invest some time. We'll get into that further when we consider what the main thought in this passage of Scripture is. Now in verse number 15, it's a short verse, and there's only two things to write as you write in your mind. Verse 15 tells us Moses built an altar. God told Moses to write in a book, rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly remove the remembrance of Amalekite. And verse 15 tells us Moses made an altar. He made an altar. And the second statement that you can write in your mind or on your paper if you're quick from verse number 15 is that Moses called the name of that altar Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. and looked up in the beginning of my study Bible the pronunciation of this word, Nasai, and that's how I concluded that's the pronunciation. Sometimes it's Nisai, but seems to mean Nasai, phonetically, N-A-S-A-S-I, Nasai. Now we come to verse number 16, and once again we find four statements that we can write in our mind or on paper, whichever is quickest. In verse number 16, the first thing we would write is, "For he said." For he said. Who's the he? Not God. The he is Moses. Moses built an altar. Moses called the altar Jehovah Nasai, for he said. That's Moses being seen as the he. Second part of verse number 16. Because the Lord has sworn. Because the Lord has sworn. For he said, because the Lord has sworn. Then the next part, that the Lord will have war with Amalek. And the fourth part of verse number 16 would be from generation to generation. For Moses said, because the Lord has sworn, that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. That's why he built the altar. That's why he called the altar Jehovah Nasai. As you write down verses you're studying, writing them down and considering them and pondering and thinking on them, the passage you will usually open up to you. Sometimes you need to consider the main characters or places that are mentioned. The main characters in this short reading is, first of all, the Lord. The Lord is found in all three verses. He is found a total of four times, as he's mentioned in verse number 16 twice. Moses is mentioned in all three verses. Joshua is mentioned in one verse. Amalek is mentioned in two verses, verse 14 and 15. So as you take these verses that you have written down and you've considered what writing those down has impressed upon you, you consider the ones that are mentioned as key characters and individuals. You come away with this thought that the Lord said to Moses, tell Joshua this about Amalek. And that's what this passage of Scripture is all about. The Lord telling Moses to tell Joshua what his judgment is, what his determination is regarding Amalek. As we consider passages of Scripture, we try to look at them from an expository perspective, taking what is said in those sentences we wrote, considering what we find in considering the characters that are involved, we ask ourselves in these three verses, what's being said? What's being said? In these three verses, as you've written them down, considered them, considered the characters and all the things involved, what's being said? To whom is it being said? As you read these three verses, and as you look at any passage of Scripture from an expository perspective, you ask yourself, well, what is being said, and to whom is it being said? And to really understand this from an expository standpoint, I've told you this when we were in the book of Nehemiah. You got to ask yourself, what was God's point for Israel? What's being said, to whom it's being said, and what does God want Israel to know? What does God want them to understand? What is God saying to the people of Israel in these verses? And when we were in the book of Nehemiah, around chapter 8, I think it was, thereabouts, I made the statement, and this is important to understanding Scripture, you're not going to understand, we're not going to understand what God is saying to us in our day and time if we don't understand what God was saying to them. If we don't understand what the point was to all of this, we're not going to understand what the point is in our day and time. I used the Corinthian church as an example when I made these statements before. You go through the book of Corinthians, 1st or 2nd Corinthians, you're not going to fully understand what point God is making for us if we don't understand the point he was making for them. Because it was first and foremost to them, and we must understand it in that context if we're going to understand how it applies to us today. And so the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, rehearse it in the years of Joshua. I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek. Moses built an altar, called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. The word that comes to mind, the thought that the Lord brought to us in studying these three verses, is the word continuance. Continuance. In verse 1 through 3, we consider the subject of grumbling. In verse 4 through 7, we considered the word or the thought of providence. In verse 8 through 13, we considered the word cooperation. And in verse 14 through 16, the thought of continuance is what the Lord has impressed upon me from this passage of Scripture. God says to Moses, write this in a book. Write this. I want this written down in a book. I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek. Moses builds an altar and calls it Jehovah Nissi. He builds an altar and calls it that because the Lord has sworn he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. There's a significance to this name that he gives this altar, Jehovah Nissi. There is a significance to the name that he gives this altar in relationship to God saying, I will have war with Amalek. Notice what the Lord said. At the beginning he says, I will erase his remembrance. But as we consider this passage further on, the Lord says, I will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. I will have war with Amalek continually until ultimately he is destroyed. You will find, check my notes, 1 Samuel chapter 15, that Amalek is judged by God bringing Saul against Amalek. How long you reckon period of time was between our passage here in Exodus 17 and Saul's going against Amalek and the Amalekites in 1 Samuel 15? Only a little over 400 years. So the Lord says, I will have war with Amalek from generation to generation until ultimately I will erase their memory from the earth. But I will continue to have conflict. I will continue to fight against. I will continue to have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And 400 plus years later, Saul is fighting the Amalekites in 1 Samuel 15. And that doesn't resolve it because in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David is fighting the Amalekites. And that's not the last we see of them. So God is saying he's going to have a continuing battle, a continuing war, a continuing conflict with Amalek and his descendants, which were descendants of Esau. Those people who came from Esau hated those who came from Jacob, which was the people of Israel. I will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So what is the significance of this altar? What was God saying to Israel? What was God saying to Joshua? What was God saying to his people in these things? We need to understand that, to understand what he's saying to us today. We must understand the promises of God that are found in this text if we want to understand the promises of God that are ours to claim today. Jehovah Nissi. Raise your hand if you know what Jehovah Nissi means. Brother Luke's one. Anyone else? Okay. Jehovah, of course, is the name of God, is the Lord. Nissi means banner. He called this altar that he built, which would have been for sacrifice and which would have been for a memorial, he called this banner the Lord, this altar, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. And I think you find the significance of that in verse number 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Amalek comes against the people of Israel, their first significant battle after coming out of Egypt. And Moses tells Joshua to choose you out some men, go and fight with them. I'm going to go up on top of this hill and I'm going to hold up the rod of God. I'm going to hold up that thing which symbolizes the power and the authority of God. I'm going to hold that up. It was key to their discomfiting Amalek. Yes, we know about his hands getting tired. Yes, we know about the cooperation that was a part of keeping them up and as long as the hands were up. But there's great importance in seeing that rod held up, which represented the presence of God, which represented the power and the authority of God. And I think that's what is being referred to when Moses calls this altar, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is that which I hold up. The Lord said, I will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Moses builds an altar that declares, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my power. The Lord is my authority. Like David declared to Goliath, we go in the name of the Lord. And continuance is in view because the Lord said, I will fight with Amalek from generation to generation. And Moses declares that the banner of the Lord would go with them. The presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the authority of the Lord would go with them. In the book of Psalms, chapter 16. Psalms, chapter 16. Psalm, chapter 16. Verse number 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. God has given his people a banner. There's more than one kind of banner. There's more than one kind of ensign found in Scripture. But here the banner is the promise of the Lord going with them. As the Lord would do war with Amalek from generation to generation, Moses declared that we would go and fight under the banner of the Lord. There's a promise here of continued presence of the Lord. I think God wanted the people to know that. As he said, one of these days I'm going to erase Amalek from memory, but until that time, I will have war with him from generation to generation. God wanted the people to know he would be their banner. He would be their power. He would be their authority. They would fight under him. And they got the victory the first time over Amalek because of God, not because of Moses, not because of Joshua, not because of the skill of the Israeli soldiers, but God had given them the victory. And this thought of continuance, I will have war with Amalek from generation to generation, write this in a book. And Moses not only writes it in a book, but he builds an altar. Altars would have been for sacrifice, or altars would have been stone memorials. And he called this altar, this memorial, Jehovah Nissi. The thought being he would have continual war with Amalek, and he would continually be the banner over his people. We told you last week, some see Amalek as a type of the flesh. And there's lessons to be gleaned from that application. If you see Amalek as a type of the flesh, and you see the Lord saying, I will have war with Amalek, or I will have war with the flesh from generation to generation, you see what God is trying to say to Israel, but hopefully you can see what God is trying to say to us. Our battle with the flesh, our battle against the flesh, will never be over until we are ultimately with the Lord. As long as we're alive on planet Earth and as long as we are here, we're going to do battle with the flesh. And we need to understand that as we continue on this battle with the flesh, the Lord is our banner. The Lord is in us, over us, guiding us and directing us. God has said, Moses built an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi because the Lord has sworn. Doesn't say God said, but God has sworn. He's given his word. He's promised. He's committed himself that he's going to have war with Amalek. This is not the last time you're going to encounter Amalek. He will be encountered for generations to come. But I will continually be with you, my people. There's this thought of continuance throughout these three verses. First of all, when the Amalekites, when Amalek came against the people, it was their first battle. But we also found the first mention of Joshua. Now, in these three verses tonight, you can kind of say we see the second place Joshua is mentioned. Joshua told him to choose men and go out and fight with Amalek. And God mentions Joshua a second time when he says, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse this in the ears of Joshua. That lays before us that there's going to be a continuance. One day Moses' job is going to be done. One day Moses is going to be removed. And who's going to take Moses' place? Joshua is going to take Moses' place. That speaks of this continuance that we're thinking about. He's told to write it in a book. What's the significance of writing something in a book? Writing something in a book means you're writing a record. You're making a record that this not be forgotten, that this be continually remembered. He's told to rehearse it, to repeat it. In the ears of Joshua, that speaks of continuance. This is what I'm telling you, Moses. I want you to write it in a book. I want you to tell Joshua this. And then the Lord says, I will have war with this Amalek that Joshua has discomfited in verse 13 from generation to generation. There's going to be a continuance. And we've mentioned the altar was for sacrifice, but it was also for memorial. when they came to an altar like this, the people would ask, what meaneth these stones? What's this altar here for? It was going to be a continual memorial to this promise that God has made to the people that I will have war with Amalek for generation to generation. For hundreds of years, I will have wars with Amalek until I ultimately remove his memory from the face of this earth. And this altar stood as a memorial, a continuing memorial to that promise. And the key point is not just that God was going to be with Israel when they fought Amalek, but that the Lord was going to be our banner. The Lord was going to be the banner over the people of Israel. And the Lord's our banner today. Against our enemies, the Lord continues to be with us. And the Lord would have us to remember, he'll continue to be with us. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, until the last enemy is defeated. We go into the book of Revelation and we go through the terrible tribulation period. We keep looking for the coming of Christ and setting up of his millennial kingdom. And we wonder, will it ever come? It'll come. It'll come. Because the Lord has promised to be our banner, to be the banner of his people, to protect and to preserve and deliver his people until he's finally setting upon the throne of his kingdom. Let's stand together.